Welcome to Parents Perspective. So, Deb asked her 13-year-old son, Gabe, how'd you do on your test?
Oh, man.
Gabe rolled his eyes and headed for the refrigerator.
A total disaster.
A disaster? Repeated Deb numbly. But I thought you studied. Wasn't that the one where I quizzed you from the prep sheet the night before?
Yeah. Gabe was wolfing down a few cookies and a glass of milk. But it doesn't matter what I do in that class.
It doesn't? Deb began to feel like an echo chamber. Why?
Because Mr. Cameron just has it in for me, that's why.
I can't believe that. Deb shook her head, trying to remember their first meeting with Gabe's teacher. I'm sure he's a very nice man. Maybe Dad should give him a call.
Oh, no, Gabe nearly choked on a cookie. Dad'll just make things worse. He always makes a big deal out of everything. I'll just deal with it, never mind.
From a parent's perspective, what do teachers need from parents? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. We have two guests today from the Arlington, Virginia Public Schools. Sharon Monday is a native of Arlington, Virginia, and has 37 years of service at the middle years level with the Arlington Public Schools. With her endorsement in secondary school administration, Sharon has served as a central office administrator, a middle school assistant principal, and has been in her current position, principal of Thomas Jefferson Middle School, for the past 12 years. Sharon has one daughter, also a product of the Arlington Public Schools, and currently a third-year medical student. Welcome to Parents Perspective, Sharon.
Thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of your program.
Susan Holland has worked for Arlington Public Schools for 22 years. For 10 years, she was an elementary school counselor at Randolph Elementary and then moved to Jefferson Middle School, where she is currently the Director of Counseling Services. Susan has two grown sons who attended Arlington, Virginia Public Schools. Welcome to Parents Perspective, Susan.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
What would you say is the biggest misconception parents have about teachers?
Well, I'll start. I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that the teaching schedule, and that would entail the day. Sometimes parents think that teachers get in the office, let's say 7:30, and when the day ends, 2 o'clock, they're out the door, or 2:30, they're out the door. Another one might be that folks go into teaching because they want their summers off. Again, I would see that as a misconception. And I think the third thing that I would say is that oftentimes parents have the feeling that teachers are not approachable. And so they need to go in and talk to the teachers and find out that, in fact, we're all in the same game.
Would you clarify why these are misconceptions?
Sometimes it has to do with maybe where the parent, the school experience that they had. Or, you know, if you had a bad school experience when you were coming through middle school, because I would like to say that middle school is probably the most challenging of all the years.
Why do you think that is? Is it developmental?
Yeah, it is. Students come into middle school, they have 3 years of middle school
and
in Arlington.
Grades
6, 7, and 8. And that's not a lot of time. They're just coming out of 5 or 6 years if they started elementary school in kindergarten. And then their high school years are going to be 4 years. So this is a short amount of time with so much stuff going on with the kids. Developmental, emotional, they're growing, their hormones are just off the chart. And they want to be successful academically. So you put all of that in one package. It's a very scary and interesting time.
I was thinking of taking issue with the hours, the misconception about hours, as a former teacher. I know my hours were not the hours that parents knew I was in the school.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot more work to do.
And I think very often, just like the elementary school kids who are shocked when they see their teacher in the grocery store, you mean teachers go to grocery stores? I think parents, if they haven't been teachers themselves or had a close relationship with a teacher, very often sort of don't get what the mindset is like and what the life is like and that kind of thing. And I'm a former teacher too, and how teachers bring home with them emotionally, a lot of what's going on with the children.
I think developmentally, too, we just finished doing rising sixth grade orientation. So all of the fifth graders that are coming to Thomas Jefferson next year visited us for a half of a day. And we showed them what the school was like and toured them around. And they met some of their teachers, the administrators, and they listened to the band play. It was really to get them excited about coming to school and just familiar with the school. So when September comes around, that they are comfortable. It struck me the other day, again, a sixth grader or a fifth grader is so developmentally different than an eighth grader, and what their focuses are in the difference in sixth grade, seventh grade, and eighth grade. They're really figuring out who they are at the same time they're really juggling academics and all the other social pressures that you have in middle school. So I agree with you. It's a very complex time for children developmentally.
We've danced around this a little bit, but let's talk about for a minute, what's the greatest challenge teachers face in dealing with parents?
I don't know if this is the greatest challenge, but this year, technology is very helpful to us, and yet we didn't realize that having more technology in some ways would make things more complicated. And I'll give you an example. We actually post our grades online every 2 weeks so a parent can go in and access. And it's not just the grades itself. It's like what missing assignments there are, how they're doing on their tests and quizzes and things like that. But there's a nuance to grading, and it's not done in real time. So a teacher can put things into the computer, and it looks like it's missing, but the teacher hasn't finished grading or they didn't get to that part. So the parents will call, and they'll be very upset because they'll see zeros on the grade book, but it doesn't really mean that it is a zero. So we do a lot of explaining. And I think that parents really appreciate the information, but then there's a lot of education that goes into what does a teacher's grade book look like? And parents can get very upset about a grade. And so they're coming into a conference or a conversation with escalated emotions.
Do you find that parents can access comfortably the technology that you use in school?
Most of our parents, yes. And the parents that don't feel comfortable, we actually have small in-services like at back-to-school night. We actually have a brochure about how to go online and check grades because we also post homework on Blackboard. So a parent, instead of using the assignment notebook all the time, they can actually access that online as well.
That means there is the underlying assumption that all these parents can access a computer.
Right, that they have access to a computer either at home or on their job. And so at our school, we have a very small group of parents, and we allow them to come into our building and use the technology that we have. Education needs to be viewed as a partnership, and that's a little different from the way that it was, but now it needs to be viewed as a partnership. And that's what I say to our parents all the time. There are three of us. There's a triangle. So they're the parents, and then you have the staff, which includes the administrative staff. But we can't leave out the child. They have a piece in this, too, and we always have to make sure that the student is included. So, you know, we kind of form that triangle with all of the pieces. If one piece is missing, then the triangle's not holding together. So the idea is to form better relationships with the parents, to do things that allow parents to come into the building, to work with your PTA. At our school, we have a wonderful PTA. They're always in our building. They're very supportive of us through, you know, luncheons and other monetary opportunities. We have mini grants where teachers can say, I need this, but the school doesn't have the money. Can you help us out? And they'll help there. The other important piece is for me and my staff to go out into the community and meet. We call it parent chats. So we go out into the community and meet with parents. Someone will host a parent chat and invite folks to come so that, again, you're talking about the grocery store, they can see us in another setting outside of the school, very relaxed. Let's just chat. We know it's a tough time for parents. The majority of the folks in the building are operating at a high, a really high level, taking papers home, coming in early in the morning, staying late, taking on responsibilities like homework club without any kind of stipend just because it's the right thing to do for the children.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on what teachers need from parents.
The popular book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Principal Sharon Monday and Director of Counseling, Susan Holland, about what teachers need from parents.
Let's address parents who are just beginning the process of relating to a school. They have a child who's just beginning school or has been in school a year or two, and they're not fortunate enough to be in your school where these parent chats are taking place. How would you suggest they reach out to connect with their child's teacher?
At the middle school level, we have something called the middle school model in Arlington, and that is it's small learning community. So there's two teams, and the students always start off every morning in something we call TA, which is teacher advisory. It's like homeroom back in the day, and that is a parent's first point of contact for a child. So if your child was having any difficulties at all, you would know that you would contact that person, and they would be the person that would either put you in touch with the PE teacher if there was an issue in PE, or if they needed to come in for a meeting with the math teacher or a team meeting, you would go to that person. I think it's really important in the beginning, too, when you're developing relationships for parents to find out what's the preferred method of communicating with that TA teacher or any of their teachers. Some of my teachers love to email. They just find it's efficient and you can go back and forth. You can have multiple conversations in a day and solve something because you're doing it in real time. Some people like their voicemail. Some people love for parents to just drop by in the morning and stick their heads in the door. And then there's other teachers that do not want to see. They're all about the kids and school has started, so let me do that. So I think that finding that out and navigating a way to good communication, because that's really what it's all about, is communication skills and relationship building between parents and teachers.
And can I add to that, at the three levels, elementary, middle, and high school, the communication is very different. At the elementary, and I'm not totally knowledgeable as far as elementary because all my experience has been in middle school, but what I see is they're little kids. And so the parents are, you know, very protective, and we want to make sure that they're doing the things that they're supposed to be doing. And we want that in the middle school as well. But there has been some growth, some developmental growth from elementary to middle school. And then when they go off to high school, it's, again, you're going to step over that hurdle and then go on to high school. But one of the things that I found, I got an email the other day, and it came from our central office, our school community relations, and it was someone who was moving into this area, trying to find out how to navigate the school system. That email was sent directly to me. They were living in Australia, and I, in turn, am in contact and, you know, setting up an appointment for the parents to come in, sit down, talk about their child, talk about what they're looking for. Jefferson is an IB. It's an International Baccalaureate Middle Years program. So our program is a little different than the other middle schools in the county. So if you're looking for a traditional middle school, we have some. But if you're looking for a different kind, like an IB school, then you have us. If you're looking for a Spanish immersion school, there's another school, middle school, that does that. So, you know, just making sure that parents understand all of the things that are available to their students.
What kind of information do teachers need that parents really are the people who can provide?
I think any time that you have a relationship between a teacher and a parent, what the teachers rely on is the parents to be honest with them about things such as medical issues. They need to know things like that. If they have a learning style and they know their child is an auditory learner and that they need to be told and just check in and make sure that they've understood, or what's worked in the past, what motivates them. If there's something going on at home and they can share with them what's happening, so that they can have a different perspective, because if a kid stops doing his homework all of a sudden, instead of assuming that he's just being lazy, if we find out that, you know, a grandparent is ill and that's what the motivating behavior is behind the homework not being completed, that's really good information for teachers to have.
Is the preferred way to share that email in today's world?
Actually, I think it would be more of a personal conversation as opposed to an email. You know, the email is very important. We don't want to lose that up close and personal kind of relationship as well. And we have middle school conferences in Arlington, and that's another opportunity to share anything. The first one happens in the fall and the latter in the spring. So to share information about the child, or for the child to share information. And I put that in because as an IB school, we have our students attend the conference, but not only do they attend, they lead the conference. We have student-led conferences where the teacher is there as the facilitator. The parent is there hearing from their child. I mean, it's their education. And if they get their progress report and say, okay, I see you got an A in English, very good, but you got, you know, a C in social studies, turn to Johnny. Johnny, what can you do? How can we pull this up? What's going on? And it's up to Johnny, with the help of the two adults there, to say, well, I need to do a better job with my homework. I need to study a little more for my test. And I mean, we have such a large participation with the conference. It's grown tremendously, almost 100%.
I'm going to go back just for a second and talk a little bit about counseling. I think that any time if a parent has something to share of a sensitive nature, that's what school's counselors are for. And contacting your child's counselor is an excellent way to start that communication.
Do counselors then take that information and have a little mini conference with just the parent, the counselor, or the parent, the counselor, and the teacher?
We often invite a parent to come in, especially if they have to tell a story, to meet one-on-one. We just think that that's a better way to handle a relationship. And then the counselor becomes the liaison to the team. Our counselors meet at least once a week with the teams during their planning time to talk about students. Successes, challenges, concerns, and at that point they would share what they could share with the team to have the team have an understanding of what's happening in the student's life.
That sounds like a way to keep the kids from slipping through the cracks when things are happening.
And it sounds like with all this that at the beginning of the school year is the time that parents should be sure to get in touch with the teacher or the counselor with whatever information is important.
We're really lucky in Arlington County. They have an initiative that's been going on now for at least 10 years where the rising sixth grade counselor, my sixth grade counselor, contacts every rising sixth grader and their parent and has them come in for an academic planning conference in either June, July, or August. And believe it or not, we talk about graduation requirement and diploma options because as things have changed in education, you're taking high school classes in middle school, and you're making decisions at seventh grade already that's going to impact what's going to happen to you at high school. So we do that to give them that information, but it's also a way to meet your child's counselor, to come into the physical building and see where the classrooms are. Because, again, our goal is to have those children be as comfortable as they can be on the first day of school. And then the Thursday night before school starts every year, we have an orientation for parents and students. We ask them to come in at nighttime. The parents actually stay in the auditorium with Ms. Monde, and they have to let their children go for the first time to where their classrooms are. You can see it's very difficult for them to just let them go off. It's that first time, like going off to college, like you were talking about. And again, they meet their teachers. They see where their homerooms are, and they just have a physical sense of where their classes are. So again, to reduce that anxiety on the first day of school.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on what teachers need from parents. Parents' perspective needs you, your feedback, your opinions, and not least, your donations that help with the cost of producing this award-winning program.
Visit us online at www.parentsperspective.org and click on to Give Direct, I Give, or eBay at Mission Fish. Please help us continue to help you. Thank you.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Principal Sharon Monday and Director of Counseling Susan Holland about what teachers need from parents. Do you have some advice for parents when they're facing a parent-teacher conference, parent-teacher-child conference in your case? What should they do to prepare?
Well, I think one of the things that they want to do, because we do send some materials home, and how to prepare, because student-led conferences are different. A lot of folks, you know, the kids stay home in bed while the conferences are going on, so we try to help them. One of the things is to talk about their students. You know, we don't want to put anybody on the spot. Is there anything, Susie, that you want to tell me before we go into the conference? You know, I'm here to support you, but is there anything you might not feel comfortable saying here, but you can tell me and then we can weave it into the conference? So that would be one thing, I think, to talk to your students. The other thing is, because we have the TA, the teacher advisor, teacher to run the conference, everybody has an opportunity to do that, to make sure, I mean, you can pull the grades. If you want to pull the grades, go ahead and circle some things that might be of concern to you. And don't just focus on the academic I mean, there's that whole social, emotional piece. And if the students aren't strong there or doing well there, then the academics could start to drop off as a result. So understand that in middle school, there's a whole big picture. There's the academic, but then there's the social, emotional, there's the physical. How are they doing in physical education? Are they participating? What kinds of activities are you doing? So not a lot of preparation, but just have some key things that you want to take a look at.
Would this also carry over and be relevant to a situation where there's no child participation in a conference? In other words, talk to your child before you go to the conference. Is there something you want me to bring up when I'm meeting with Mrs. Jones, that kind of thing?
Yes, definitely.
I was happy to hear you mention concern for the social, emotional part of all this, particularly being an IB school. You're working with kids who are pretty intense academically. And sometimes those are the very children who socially have a little more difficulty.
Right. And I think it's also that you have to understand that children are different. There are some that academics are going to be their forte. And the social, emotional, they may still be lagging a little bit there. That doesn't make it right or wrong. It just makes them a little bit different, and that will develop earlier. And Susan probably has, I mean, because she's in counseling, she probably deals with that a lot more than I do.
True. I guess I would say, too, that I would remind parents that conferences are 20 to 30 minutes long and that you might not be able to get all of your answers met at that meeting. But again, that's what a counselor is for, or to turn around and make an appointment to meet with teachers. So it's not the only time that you'll get to talk.
Is there a way that parents can and should register support for a teacher? Sometimes we think that it's an adversarial relationship. You know, she better do right by my child, or, you know, she doesn't realize that my child is really gifted, or whatever. Is there something that would be a good way to start out for parents to let the teacher know that they appreciate what they're doing?
I think that Sharon talked about before, the elementary school parents are super, super involved. And I think that the tendency is to step back a little bit when you go to middle school or to high school. And I would say probably not to do that, to be visible in the school, to have a presence, to have a relationship with the teachers prior to having to have a difficult discussion. So that the more the teachers see the parent around the school, they are viewed as supportive PTA, they went on the field trip. And so that's relationship building. And so that when you have to have a discussion, you already have a foundation.
When a parent perceives some sort of trouble, the child is having some sort of problem in school, it could be grades, which you post so frequently, that's really an interesting aspect, or a failed test, or behavior problems in the classroom. Is the best course of action still to go to that TA or directly to the teacher where you think the problem is?
I like for parents to go directly to the teacher. Sometimes parents will come to the principal, and that's not the first point of contact. If there's something going on in the classroom, because I'm going to say, when you call, I'm going to say, have you talked with the teacher about that? May I suggest that you talk with the teacher? And then if you don't get the answer that you're looking for, or you know, you're not satisfied, a couple of things can happen. We can sit down together and talk about it. Or if you would like for the teacher not to be there, you know, you and I can talk about it and I can get more information and get back with you. But it keeps going back to having that positive relationship and that triangle, because if we leave the teacher out of this, I mean, they come to me, I have no idea what's going on. I'm going to have to go to the teacher anyway to find out. Now, if it's a discipline situation, oftentimes I'm the lead on that because it's something that got sent to me. I meet with the student, then I contact the parent, and we go from there. But when it comes to the academics, either through the TA or through the actual teacher, I think it's the best way to go.
I think when you skip that teacher, when you don't contact the teacher and you bring it to an administrator, it puts the teacher in a defensive position because it feels like they're in trouble. And that's not how you want to start off a conversation.
Is it okay to go directly to the guidance counselor if you think it's that kind of issue?
Absolutely. And I mean, it could be academic, but a lot of the times it has to do with social, emotional stuff where we're the first people that they contact the counselor. But they can come and talk about a failed test or a grade, and they can use the counselor as the conduit to the team.
For our listeners who want to explore further some of the issues we've been discussing, what resources would you recommend?
I think the counseling department as a resource in your school. Additionally, in Arlington, we have a parent resource center. And check and see if your school has one.
I know that at Jefferson, we have a parent resource center within our school that has brochures and information for parents and websites that they can go to about adolescent development. But again, we have an outstanding parent resource center that's run by staff, but also parents. So it's parent-to-parent talking to one another, and they can offer support groups.
Right. And I would also say, if you don't have the parent chats, I mean, that's a resource. That networking is a resource. If I had a child in middle school and they didn't have parent chats in that school district, go in and talk to the school.
I'd also say find your PTA president, because 9 out of 10 times your PTA president is not a new parent. They at least have had a child go through already, or their child's a 7th or an 8th grader, and they understand the lay of the land, and they can point you in the right direction. Again, a parent talking to another parent.
Well, you've certainly provided a lot of direction to a lot of our listeners, and we are very grateful. So, Sharon Monday and Susan Holland, thank you so much for being with us and helping us discuss what teachers need from parents.
Thank you.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Mention show number 484 and tell us, if you can, what station you're tuning into.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice, or check us out at facebook.com/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from you, our listeners. Our sound engineer is Kent Hitchcock. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.